email us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs, and it's my privilege to spend the next half hour with you here. And thank you for choosing WMIE 91.5 FM. You might be listening at 8:30 of a morning or 5 o'clock of an evening. If you miss one, you can catch the other. If you happen to miss both of those, you can catch us at 10:30 of a morning on 1510 AM, one of the sister stations here of WMIE. The program is rebroadcast there 10:30 of a morning every day. It's also available through the website, WMIEFM.com. And right now we are talking about the will of God. And we're starting, I like to do this. I like to move us from the negative. I like to move us towards the positive. God's always looking to move us. Too many times people look at the current situation and they think it's never going to change. But I can tell you that God is very much interested in bringing about spiritual change in our lives, where we no longer fight against the will of God, but we embrace the will of God with joy, and we move forward in faith from there. So I do want to take just a moment to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. That phone number will get you Bill Andriak. His wife Heidi is our worship leader. Bill is exceptional at his air conditioning and heating work. He deals with cooling and refrigeration issues, knows what all of those little devices are. And, you know, there have been times when I thought that something was going on, that it was a big issue, and he showed up and said, oh, this can be taken care of very, very quickly and very easily. And if you would like him to come and take a look at your unit, make sure that it's maintained well and running optimally, that's easy for me to say, give him a call, 321-759-3284. That's Creative AC Solutions here in Central Brevard County. He can come to you and make sure that whatever the weather is like, you're ready to handle it. Your unit is prepared. I was having a conversation on a flight last week with a person, and I told him, I said, you know, I have been in the 40s in October, and I've been in the 80s in December in Florida. Both of those things were in Florida. And so you need to be ready in case a cold front comes, but you also need to make sure that your AC is ready in case we have a heat wave. My kids were in high school band, two of them were. And so I think it was for 7 years I got, actually it's longer than that, because they were in middle school as well. And that band marched. So I would say you got to go probably 10 years that I was out there for the Christmas parade. And some of those years they were exceptionally warm. Make sure your AC is ready no matter what comes, whether it's cold weather or hot weather. Make sure your unit is prepared. And one of the ways you can do that is call Bill at 321-759-3284. That's Creative AC Solutions, 321-759-3284. If you don't trust your current AC guy, or if you don't have an AC guy, write that number down. Sooner or later, you're going to need somebody to come and fix your system for you. He is very, very good at what he does. Let's get to the Word today, and we're going to be in 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Yesterday, we talked about a servant that was not serving in accordance with the will of the king. And that wasn't going to end well. You don't want to set aside God's will to embrace your will. Trust me, the consequences are dire. It might seem more comfortable and more self-affirming at the front end, but the back end is got a very high price tag. So today we're going to talk about what Paul told Timothy. Paul was Timothy's spiritual father. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 24, it says, "And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility correcting those who are in opposition, if God perhaps will grant to them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will." So in this passage, there are two expressions of will. There is God's will for the servant and God's will for the captives. We need to remember that there are people who are in very much spiritual bondage. It says here in verse number 26, that they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. There are people who are literally doing the will of the devil. I'm not making that up. That's straight out of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 26. You don't want those people operating in your life. And here's the news. God does not want them being in captivity and doing the will of the devil. That's not God's will. It's not his plan. They weren't created for that. God wants to see them liberated, and he wants to see them set free. And the way that God reaches them in that is the Holy Spirit begins to minister in them, but the Holy Spirit also ministers in us on the other end of the equation. I believe that the Holy Spirit works on both ends of the equation. I believe that he works on the person with the problem and the person who's going to help and bring the solution. I believe that God is working in the hearts of those who have yet to hear the gospel, and he's working in the hearts of those that he's calling to come and share the good news of Jesus Christ. It is the will of God to change this situation of bondage. If you are in captivity today, you might be in captivity to drugs, whether they're prescription drugs or they're illicit drugs or illegal drugs. It doesn't matter. God wants to set you free from that. I'm just letting you set in. He wants you set free from that. He doesn't want you being in bondage to work. Now, there's work to do, but there's a term out there called being a workaholic. God's not calling you to be addicted to work. He's calling you to fulfill the work that he has called you to do. Big difference between being addicted to work and working for the glory of God. Huge difference there. Okay? You might be addicted to alcohol. You might be addicted to your cell phone. There are so many addictions out there that you and I, we need to make sure that none of those things are being used to ensnare us. So you could be addicted to television. You could be addicted to a lot of things. And sometimes some of those things are good, but when they displace the ministry of God, or they occupy a spot higher in your life than what God intends it, then it's a problem, and you might not realize that you're in bondage until you try and get free. When the children of Israel were in Egypt, they were growing stronger, but there was a day when there was a person that came to the throne who did not remember Joseph. And their situation changed because now they were viewed as a threat rather than an ally, and it resulted in their bondage. And all of a sudden, there was a taskmaster's whip instead of the abundance of Egypt that had been there when there was a famine in the land. So today, if you find yourself in a spiritual bondage, please understand that the devil's purpose in that is not just to destroy you, but it is to make you an unwilling participant in doing his will and his purpose rather than doing God's will and God's purpose. One is going to be glorious. That would be doing God's will. And one of them is going to be miserable, and that's doing the will of the devil. What needs to take place? It says here that they need to come to their senses. The prodigal son in Luke chapter 15, it wasn't until he came to a change of heart, till he came to his senses while he was feeding pigs that belonged to a guy in a land that was far away from where he had grown up, and he wanted to eat the pig's food. Now that is desperation. That is desperation. And he said, you know what? My father treats his servants better than this. And I will tell you this today. God takes care of his kids. There are too many people who have this mindset of God as being abusive, and he's not. The devil is the one who is abusive. I believe it was Oral Roberts said, theology is very simple. God is good, the devil is bad. It really does come down to something as simple as that. God is good and the devil is bad. And I talk to people and they've had some bad experiences with Christians, and they don't want to have anything to do with Christianity. I've got a friend of mine, and I've been able to pray with them. I have been able to talk with them, but they had some bad encounters with people whose message and their life did not line up. So you know what my privilege is? My privilege is to interact with him as much as possible and live out a living faith, a faith that is not only the words that comes out of my mouth, but it also lines up with the life that I live. So God wants them to come to their senses, escape the snare of the devil, and that they would be liberated from doing the devil's will to do God's will. So let's look at the servant. What is the will of God for a servant? A servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all. Okay? So you've got to get over this mindset of wanting to fight every battle. There are some people, they just are looking for a good fight. I don't enjoy fighting. Now, if we're going to fight, I'm going to fight to win. I'll just tell you, that's the way that I am. I don't like losing, especially if it's in a life or death situation. So you and I, we're not supposed to be going about quarreling and quibbling about everything. We must be gentle. And so there are some people, they want to argue about everything. And I'm just not there. So I literally told a person one time, I said, you know, it's really good to see you. We have a limited amount of time together, and we could spend this time quarreling and fighting, and you're not going to convince me, and I'm not going to convince you. And so we would go home and have wasted this opportunity that we have together. But why don't we adopt a different mindset? And that is, let's not spend the little bit of time that we have fussing and feuding and fighting. I just don't like it. I don't have to be right in your eyes. I don't have to be right in my eyes. In fact, there's times when I pray, God, I see this in your word, and there's this situation that's going on with somebody, and I hope I'm wrong about the outcome of this, but in the meantime, I'm going to warn them about what is going on. So there are things that people want to argue about, and there's no way to prove it. And I say at that point in time, you know what? I don't have time for all of this arguing. You also must be able to teach. You must be gentle, and you must be able to teach. It is not just about retaining the information for yourself. The goal of this radio program is not for me to hear my voice as it's going across the airwaves. The goal of this radio broadcast is for this voice to share spiritual truth with the people of Brevard County so that they hear it, it becomes implanted in their life, and it makes a change in their life. So when I was having a conversation with my father about this radio program, he said, "You don't know how many people are listening to that program and make decisions for Jesus. You don't know how many marriages end up getting saved. You don't know how many people's lives end up getting saved. You don't know how many people start going to church. There's a whole lot of the harvest that we're not going to know until we get to heaven. So you must be able to teach, and you must be patient. We've done a study on the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about being patient. And I would encourage, especially parents with prodigals or loved ones with prodigals, whether it's a mom, a dad, a husband, a wife, an aunt, an uncle, a niece or a nephew, whatever it might be. And that is this: most people do not respond to the first invitation that they receive to become a child of God. It takes the Holy Spirit working in their life. It takes the seed being sown and then the Holy Spirit working the seed in their life before it produces fruit. Some people get saved, baptized in the Holy Spirit and baptized in water all in a very short period of time. And I say, praise God for that. But many people, it requires patience. And I would just say this: if you expect people to be patient with you, then we need to demonstrate that same level of patience with other people as well. I think that's wisdom. It goes on and it says in verse number 25, "In humility correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth." So the ultimate goal is for people to know the truth. So just because you are walking in accordance with the will of God does not mean that you are going to be opposition free. There will be many times when seasons of difficulty will arise. It's during those seasons that you need to remain humble. As my kids always get a kick out of it when I mention the word that they created, and that is the gift of humility. you've got to remain humble. You need humility in your life. You've got to maintain, as they say, humility. You've got to stay there. You can't become arrogant, because God opposes the proud. He opposes the proud, the pride of unbelievers. He opposes pride in believers. He opposes pride outside the church. He opposes pride inside the church. He opposes pride in America, and he opposes pride around the world. God is just not into pride. Pride was a leading force in the fall of Lucifer, and it's not allowed in heaven. The only thing that we have to boast about is the Lord. So let's not be so full of ourselves that we can't be used by God. It says we correct people in humility. In Galatians chapter 6, let me turn over there real quick. Galatians chapter 6, it talks about how we are to go about bringing correction. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for each one shall bear his own word. So when we are dealing with people who have been overtaken in a trespass, in sin, needing correction, we have to remember to correct them with gentleness. We've got to correct them knowing that we are also subject to failure in other areas of our life. When you meet people, you are not going to meet a perfect person. You may meet someone further along in the journey with you. You may meet someone that's not as far advanced in their journey with Christ as you are. Don't become proud of that. If you meet someone who's not as far along in the journey as you are, teach them. Encourage them. Say, I believe in you. Right now, I've got a person that I'm praying for that has more giftings than what I have. And yet there's some struggle that is going on there. And so what my privilege is to come along as an encourager and help get them, because God has a plan and a purpose for their life that is going to accomplish great things. So just because a person is opposing you doesn't mean that you're supposed to be enemies forever. You minister to them in such a way that God will give to them the gift of repentance. I believe the first blessing that God gives to anyone is the blessing of repentance. Repentance is not a bad word. Repentance is a great word because it describes the gift of God. People say, there's a saying in the world that says, a leopard can't change its spots. Okay, that may be true. But a human being can be changed by the living God. Saul was changed by the living God. You and I, hopefully, have been transformed by the grace of God. So we look at people and say, we're looking for the grace of God to come into your situation. Now, I want to encourage you, because the Holy Spirit is the one that is responsible for bringing the change. Not you and not me. And I will put this addendum there. The Holy Spirit is phenomenal at doing his job. And you and I are terrible at doing the Holy Spirit's job. We share the truth. We're there to love. We're there to teach. But we're not there to change. That's God's job. That's God's job. So I just want to encourage you, stay in your lane. Let God do his thing, and you and I will see people knowing the truth. It is very important for us to know the truth. So you and I, when we look at the Word of God, and it says that people shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. It is not the truth that sets people free. It is knowing the truth that sets people free. It is very, very important that you and I realize that we need to be aware of the truth, make people aware of the truth. It is that truth that is so liberating for people's lives. So I just want to encourage you today, be a person that shares the truth, and then let them have their time for God to bring about the fruit of their life. I had a person one time that I said something about God in their house, and they said, "Whoa, just hold it right there. This is my house. And in my house, we don't talk about God. We don't talk about church. It's my house." And I said, "That's okay. We won't." But that didn't mean that I stopped praying for them. And it didn't mean that I stopped living the truth simply because they rejected it. And I will tell you that their reality changed. Their perspective changed. And today, they are a very fruitful member of the body of Christ. They are not in full-time ministry, but they are actively engaged in ministry in their church. They are a blessing. They have wisdom, and they have grown in their faith. I tell you that there are people that at one point in time didn't have much to do with God, and now, because of God having his will in their life, that they are much more advanced in their faith than they ever were before. How about you and I commit ourselves to God's will as servants and praying for God to have his will in those who are currently opposed to the kingdom of God? Listen, you know, when Paul talks about the transformation that was available for people who are taken captive by the devil to do his will, he wasn't speaking about that from theoretical knowledge. He was speaking to that because of his personal testimony. Once he found himself as the chiefest of sinners, as a persecutor, and yet he heard the gospel. Then he had an encounter with Jesus, and it radically transformed his life. If God could do it for Saul, he can do it for your loved one. If God could do it for Saul, he can do it for the drug addict. He can do it for the arrogant. He can do it for the alcoholic and the workaholic. He can set the captives free no matter what chain the enemy has used to take a person captive. God can break that chain. He is the chain breaker. And so let's do our part. Let's embrace the will of God. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Praise awaits you in this place today, O Lord. We are gathered ready, God, to sing your praise. Ready to respond to the glories of your name, to the wonders of your heart, to your